This is Brian Jenkins of Chosen 300 Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to join us on the web at www.chosen300.org, where you can learn about volunteer activities and also opportunities for giving. You can give by sending us a gift to Chosen 300 Ministries at P.O. Box 95, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, 19003. We also have an option for online giving right on our website at chosen300.org, and we also encourage you to designate your United Way or community giving gifts at your place of employment to Chosen 300 Ministries. This is a big help to our ongoing expense for our mission projects in Center City, Philadelphia. We want to thank you so much for joining to us today, and may God bless you and you enjoy today's message.
Amen. We thank God for the reading of our scripture by our brother found in Mark, the second chapter, verse 1 through 12. We just want to look at those verses very quickly. We're not going to look at all of them right immediately, but very quickly, starting at the first verse, and it says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house." He was in the house. "And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, not so much as about the door, and he preached unto them the word of God. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, born of four, when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and they had broken it up, and they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven of thee." Verse 6, it says, "And there was a certain scribe sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned with themselves. He said unto them, Why reason you these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk?" Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the word you said through your servant David. I'll make his word a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathways, that I might hide his word in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Now consecrate me now for thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. May my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say amen. Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, we have to have corporate faith. If you were here last week we talked about corporate prayer and how it is necessary for us to come together. We understand the importance of praying as individuals and having some private time to yourself and seeking God for yourself. But there's also a time that we ought to come together and pray with one another as an effective corporate prayer. And we talked about the components of a corporate prayer. And if you missed last Sunday, I'm not going to go over it again. You can go to the library and log on to the website, chosen300.org, and you can hear last week's message on corporate prayer. But today we want to talk about corporate faith. Now, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you allowed him to come into your life and reign in your life, there had to be a measure of faith already working or active in your life for salvation or the miracle of salvation to occur. In John 3:16, we read it every Sunday. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." That believing in him is something that requires faith. In order for the miracle, and any miracle to occur, there has to be faith by either that individual or faith of someone else for that miracle to occur. In our text, as we look in the second chapter of the book of Mark, we are dealing with an instance that involves corporate faith. Now, first of all, we have to understand that faith, there's a difference between prayer and faith. Normally, the two work together, but there is a substantial difference between prayer and faith. Prayer is simply saying that you are petitioning God, and yes, we talked about the components of prayer where we worship God, we petition God, we thank God. It's important to do those things, but basically it is really just seeking God in a verbal sense or through praying in the Spirit, believing God for him to intervene in a certain thing. The difference between prayer and faith is that faith requires commitment and faith requires sacrifice. You know, I share this ministry all over the city of Philadelphia, now all over the world, and we're excited about what God is doing. But many times people will come up to me and say, Brian, we're so excited about the work that you're doing in Philadelphia, and you're helping people that need, and you're feeding people around. We're excited, and we're praying for you. And I said, thank you for your prayers, but could you send a check? I mean, let's be real. I mean, you know, prayer is nice, but prayer ain't going to put chicken on the plate on Wednesday night. Prayer is nice, but prayer ain't going to make some collard greens or macaroni and cheese or potato salad get down somebody's throat. Yes, fine, pray for me, but can you put some action in that thing and get some faith in that thing that you actually believe in the work that we're doing? And can you send a check? Can you send some digits? Can somebody say amen? You know, when we were constructing this building and asking God, we prayed, say, God, can you send us a building? It get cold outside. And as I said exactly like that, it get cold outside. Not it gets, but it get cold outside. It's so cold you don't even have an S on the end of the word. It is cold out there, and we want to be able to come inside and have a place where we can worship together and where we could enjoy fellowship together, that we could eat together in some heat. And we prayed, but after we prayed, it required an action of faith for this thing to come about. Somebody gonna get this in a second. When we opened the door, when we put the down payment on the building, after we paid all the expenses to get in the building itself, there was $160,000 of renovations to be done on this place for us to open the door. There was a problem. We didn't have a dime in the bank. We didn't have a dime to rub together anywhere. We were scraping to get the food together for the week after that. And we just believed God that he was going to work it out. And I was actually about to leave on vacation, and God says, start construction. I said, God, with what? I mean, just be real, God. I'm looking at the bank account. I see the bill. You're telling me to start construction. God, with what? So I called up the architect, and I said, architect, can you come down? Never met the man a day in my life. First time ever talked to him on the phone, and someone had referred him to me. He came down and saw the building. He says, what are you doing? I said, this is what we're doing here. We're opening the center where we can feed people and share the gospel. He says, oh, that's wonderful. He says, let me design the building. I said, fine. Well, how much is it going to cost? He says, don't worry about it. Just let me design the building. I don't normally sign contracts like that, but then he came down and designed it. The bill came in the mail. It was over $6,000, but at the bottom it said donation. See, you have to understand that if you operate in faith. Now we got the plans. We got the plans. We sent the designs to the city to get the building permit, and the Lord says, so we'll start building. You got the plans. Start building. So I called the contractor, and I said, contractor, can you come down? Come down and see the building, because I want to show you what we want to do. He says, well, what are you doing here? I says, we're helping the needy. We're helping the poor. We're feeding people. We're sharing the gospel. He says, that's wonderful. He says, let me do it. I says, what are you talking about? I said, let me do it. How much is this going to cost? He says, I'm not going to charge you anything. He says, all you got to do is pay the subcontractors. I says, fine, I still don't have any money. He says, well, let's just start construction. He called men from his church to come down, and they started gutting the building out for free and putting up the studs to the walls and putting up drywall. I want to let you know that. And then as God progressed the project, every dime was needed for. By the time we ended the project in 6 months, every $160,000 was paid off in cash. You have to understand that if you are going to expect a miracle from God, it not only requires prayer, it not only requires you petitioning God, it requires you stepping out in action and believing that the miracle is going to occur. Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That means that you are not only praying and believing that thing is going to occur, but while you are praying, you're just walking in it. I don't see the ground, but I know it's here, and I know that God God is going to work it out for me. I don't see the job, but I'm going to get dressed up in the morning like I got one. I don't see my house, but I'm going to start buying me some stuff because I know I'm going into it. I don't see my room, but I'm going to start acting like I got something under my belt. I'm going to lift up my head and walk like I'm proud and know that God is going to make everything all right because I not only prayed about it, but I got faith. Oh, come on, somebody say hallelujah this morning. You got to have faith. Faith requires not only commitment and sacrifice, it requires action. You got to act on the thing that you have prayed for, believing that God will bring it to pass. Well, not only does faith require commitment and sacrifice, but faith requires action, but faith is normally stimulated by the need of a miracle. The need of a miracle. Many times we talk about people praying, and the reality is that your miracle might be different from my miracle. A miracle for you just might be normal life for me. A normal life for you might be a miracle for me. The reality is wherever you are, the condition you're in right now and what you can't see might be a miracle. And what defines it as a miracle is the fact that without God, the chances of that situation being resolved or solved, it's going to need God's intervention, and therefore it makes it a miracle. You sitting down in that chair and standing back up, to you it might be a miracle. To me, it's a normal action. But to me, every time I get behind this desk, it's a miracle because of the fact that I know that I'm not worthy to be up here, but it's only by the grace of God. And I got to pray and come in faith knowing that He's going to bring a word for you that will enhance your life. We're talking about corporate faith. Now, just like we had individual prayer and we had corporate prayer, there's also individual faith and corporate faith. I believe in faith that I can believe for something to happen all by myself. I can have faith that a miracle is going to occur all by myself. Matthew 17 and 20, it says, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you that if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, that you shall say to the mountain, remove hence and yonder to a place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." That's individual faith. That's your faith. Don't need nobody else to do that. You can have faith all by yourself. There is nothing wrong with having faith all by yourself. Luke 17 and 6 says something else about this mustard seed faith. It says, "And the Lord said, if you have faith the grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you." You. That means you have power. Once you have accepted Jesus Christ in your life, the faith of God has been instilled in you, and what you need to do is exercise your faith so that you can speak yourself and believe God for a miracle in your life, in your situation, and in your circumstance. But one thing we must understand, that not only does God require individual faith, but He also requires corporate faith. Because individual faith can do miracles. But when you get along another believer, beside another believer, and start believing God together, not only does God double your faith, but what He does is magnifies your faith and also magnifies the possibilities and the miracles that can come to pass by you joining together with someone in faith. Somebody ought to say amen. Let's look at Genesis, the 11th chapter. Genesis, the 11th chapter. There is a story about the Tower of Babel. And I just want to read through this real quickly. It says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there and said to one another, go to, let us make brick. Burn them thoroughly, and they had brick of stone and slime for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto the heaven, and let us make a name, that lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men build. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they all have one language. And this they begin to do, now nothing. Look, underline, if you have own the Bible that you have, underline that. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. When you join up with somebody else, that what God has instilled in you as a human being is possibility. Each of you have possibility. Each of you have potential. Each of you have a future. Each of you have a focus and a plan that God has for your life. But even within that plan, when you join up with somebody else and you hook up with somebody else that has the same mindset that I'm going to make it, that I'm going to do better, that I'm going to accomplish my goal, when you hook up with somebody and y'all start believing God together, don't you know that it increases your faith? It not only doubles it, but it magnifies it. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. In Acts, the 2nd chapter, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord, and they were all in one place. You have to understand, the miracle of the day of Pentecost was not so much the gift of the Holy Spirit, but the fact that they all came together. And when they finally got together, and they were all in one accord, and they were touching and agreeing and believing God for the miracle, then the Spirit of God came down and filled them where they were sitting, and the power of God overshadowed them. If you want a miracle to come to pass, yes, you got to have faith yourself, but you also got to link up and believe God that he will bring the miracle to pass. This morning we're talking about corporate faith. Corporate faith. Now, with any miracle, we must realize that what makes the outcome of the miracle is that there is at least a difficulty that does not seem logical or solvable. But even in its own state, most miracles face obstacles to overcome before the solution can be made manifest. Before your miracle can come to a reality in your life, there are some obstacles or things that you have to overcome. Now, when we're dealing with this issue of corporate faith, in our text we examine there are 5 things that a group or a collective body need to do in order to make faith manifest itself into a miracle. I'm going to repeat that. There are 5 things. 5 things that a group or a body of believers must do in order to make their faith manifest itself into a miracle. The first one is found in the first verse of Mark, the 2nd chapter, and it says, and again he entered into Capernaum. The key word is again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And again, somebody say again. But very significant in this text, the word again. The first thing that we have to understand, that corporate faith requires experience. Corporate faith requires experience. Somebody say experience. It requires experience. It says, and again he entered into Capernaum. If when you read the 1st chapter, we're not going to go through it today, but if you read the 1st chapter, you will find out that Jesus had already been in Capernaum. Matter of fact, he just left there and then went to Galilee. He stopped in Capernaum, and the Bible says that he had cast out devils, and they were amazed. And he healed people, and they were amazed. In verse 32 of the 1st chapter, it says, and at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed of devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out devils, and suffered the devils not to speak, because they knew him. You have to understand that God has already done something in your life. How many people has the Lord done something for? And you know it was a miracle. You know that without God intervening in that circumstance, you would have been dead. Without God intervening in that circumstance, you should have been in jail. Without God intervening in that circumstance, you should have lost your mind. Without God intervening in that circumstance, you should have had AIDS. Without God intervening in that circumstance, you should have been sick, dead, messed up in a grave somewhere, but because of the grace and mercy of God, and somebody was saying a word of prayer, believing in faith that a miracle would come in your life. That's why your tail's sitting in that chair right now. Somebody ought to give God praise. Oh, hallelujah. Faith requires experience. And the Bible says, and again, he came into Capernaum. And they remembered what Jesus had already did. It requires experience. The second thing that corporate faith requires the overcoming of social obstacles by acting in faith. I want to repeat that. Corporate faith requires overcoming social obstacles by acting in faith. Let's look at the rest of our text. Mark the second chapter, verse 2-4. It says, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there were no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached unto them the word of God. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born afore. And they could not come nigh unto him for the press. They uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. Now listen very carefully. This is out of the ordinary. Jesus was already heard about. And the reality is that when people start to hear about what Jesus is doing, it seems like the place gets packed out. When Jesus starts doing miracles, multitudes show up. Everywhere that Jesus went, you often hear it says, and there were multitudes there, and Jesus healed them. You have to understand that when Jesus shows up, there's often multitudes that show up. But also, it also creates, sometimes there are social obstacles that will prevent you from getting to Jesus to get your miracle. Come on, the football game in the afternoon sometimes can stop you from getting to your miracle. That bad relationship that you have can stop you from getting to your miracle. Going to the wrong places, doing the wrong things can help stop you from getting to your miracle. A lot of times when we think about it, we put everything else we can before God. And the thing is that those obstacles that are blocking us, the obstacle in this text were just a whole bunch of people, but a lot of us have a whole bunch of obstacles that are preventing us from getting the miracle that God has for your life. We listen to bad advice, there's obstacles. We listen to people's opinions, there are obstacles. We listen to what social standards say, those are obstacles. We listen to what statistics say, those are obstacles. But when do you want to get beside the obstacles and get over them, climb up into a roof and get to Jesus by any means necessary? You got to get over the obstacles that are blocking you from reaching the agenda and purpose and plan that God has for your life, which will produce a miracle by faith. You got to get rid of the obstacles. Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, get rid of the obstacles that are blocking your miracle. There's a miracle that God has for your life. There's an expectation that God wants you to walk in. But in order to get to that point, you have to have some experience and believe that God has already worked some things out for you. And if he's already done one thing, he'll do another. You have to believe that, get some obstacles out of your way and start acting in faith and walking in the miracle that God has for your life. Well, what is the third thing that we must do in this corporate faith? Corporate faith requires forgiveness of sin. Corporate faith requires forgiveness of sin. Mark the second chapter, verse 5, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, son, thy sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. Listen to this, Mark 2:5, it says, and when Jesus saw their faith. First of all, we have to understand that it was a corporate agreement of these four men bringing the sick of palsy to Jesus. They let him down in the roof, and Jesus saw their faith. But listen what happens here. Jesus does not address the miracle of his body first. Here the man is sick with palsy,
And Jesus is rude about the situation. He says, your sins be forgiven. Why is it necessary for the sin to be forgiven in order for the miracle to occur? You know, I sat these chairs up here this morning and I was amazed. Nobody sat in them. I sat them up here. But you have to understand that if my miracle is over there and I'm trying to get to my miracle, but the problem is that some of the sins in our life are preventing us from getting to the miracle. And in order for the miracle to happen in the man's life, in order for corporate faith to have work, sin had to be eliminated. And the only one that had the authority to forgive sins was Jesus. And he came to the man. The man came down through the roof. It's almost as if someone had taken the skylight off and let the man down. And here the man was there, sick with palsy. And Jesus says, I saw their faith. Man, thy sins will be forgiven. You have to understand there's miracles over there for you, and they're sitting right there. They're waiting for you, and someone has already brought you to the altar, but what has to be eliminated out of your life is some of the sin. Well, we got some sins here that are causing problems. It's homosexuality. It's in the way. It's gossip. It's in the way. It's stealing. It's in the way. It's cheating. It's in the way. There's adultery. It's in the way. Lying. It's in the way. Fornication. It's in the way. Backbiting. It's in the way. And then you can get to your miracle. But the things that are blocking your miracle from occurring is the sins that are in the way. And Jesus says, thy sins be forgiven. Hallelujah. Corporate faith requires, in order for the miracle to occur, it requires the forgiveness of sin. There are five things. We talked about experience. We talked about overcoming the obstacles. We talked about the forgiveness of sin. The fourth thing that corporate faith requires is the elimination of unbelief. Mark 2, 6 through 9. It says, but there were certain of the scribes that were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves. He said unto them, why you reason these things in your heart? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven to thee, or say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. You have to understand that there are times in your life that a miracle is designated for your life. And the thing that is stopping you from getting to the miracle is the people that are around you that don't believe that you can make it. See, a lot of people that even some people might even be next to you think you can't make it. You was always nothing. You nothing right now. And you're going to be nothing. And that's all they believe for your life. But God says that you're more than a conqueror through him that loved us. And what you got to do is get a hold of God's word and believe that there is a miracle for your life and get around people that believe that the miracle is going to happen for you. There's a story in Mark, the 5th chapter, verse 35 to 42, about Jairus' daughter. And the Bible says that Jairus' daughter had died. He had died, and his daughter was dead, and Jesus was going to see about Jairus, his daughter. And they said, Jesus, you don't need to come now because of the fact that Jairus, his daughter, is dead. She gone. She out of here. She gone. Give the last rites. It's over. See you later. The fat lady had sang. She's gone. But then Jesus came and he took Jairus and his wife into the house and put everybody else out. You got to put some people out. It's time to dump some folk. There's some folk that you just got to dump. You got to get rid of some folk in your life that are doubting you and stopping you and preventing you from getting to the miracle that God has for your life. You know, there's a song that Beyonce sings, and I don't listen to it too often, but I was watching it for award shows, and she had a song on there that said, to the left, Just to the left. Get your box and go to the left. You got to realize, you got to tell some people to the left. Just get up out of my life. Get out of my circumstance, because of the fact that I'm believing God for a miracle in my life. Somebody just tell somebody to the left. To the left. Just get going. Because of the fact that you are not believing God for the miracle in my life. And I need somebody that is going to believe God for me. It requires the elimination of unbelief. Well, what is the fifth thing? Corporate faith requires the expectancy of a miracle. Last two verses, 11 and 12. It says, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed and walk, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately they arose, took up the bed, and went forth them all, insomuch they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it in this fashion. You have to understand that when the four men that carried the sick of palsy, they laid him down. The reason why they were laying him down in the roof, because they expected God to do something. When you get people around you that are believing you, make sure that they expect something to happen for your life. And you start expecting something for somebody else's life. Stop speaking negative, but believe that God is going to work everything out all right. I believe God for a miracle in my life every day. But you know something? I don't share with everybody what my prayer is. I don't share with everybody what I'm believing God for. I just start walking in that thing and believing God that he's going to work it out. I believe that God has more for me, that this is just not it. He just did not lay this up just for me to be here for one moment, but God has so much more. And you have to believe that God has more for each and every one of your lives today. He has a miracle for your life. But get with some people that believe the same way that you do, and believe are going to do something with their lives, and going to believe that God's going to do something with yours. Yes, it's important to have individual faith, but it's also important to have corporate faith, believing God that he's going to do the miracle in your life. Come on, put those hands together and praise God for his word today. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. Corporate faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For him that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God has a miracle for your life. You got to get some stuff out of the way. Get those obstacles out the way. Get that sin out of your way. Get those people that are not believing for you. Get them out of the way and believe God for the miracle he has for you. How many people are expecting something from God in your life? You really want something bad, but you got to get hold of faith and believe that he's going to do it for you. Somebody say hallelujah. Come on, just lift your hands where you are. Just start thanking God. I want you to start praying for yourself and just believing God for your own miracle. Just take a moment right now and just thank God and believe corporate faith. Just start believing God for the miracle, for your miracle, for the miracle of the person next to you, the person behind you, in front of you. Just start praying. Take a moment and just start praying for them. Just start praying.
Well, praise the Lord. We hope you enjoyed today's mission message for today. We encourage you once again to sow a seed of faith into this ministry. We are the ministry that is uniting the body of Christ to reach the world, to help the homeless and less fortunate. We also encourage you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for our Sunday morning worship and breakfast. And again, any volunteer opportunity, they're located on the website at chosen300.org, where you can participate in helping the homeless and less fortunate. May God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you.